chapter. And what a book it is. You know, our country is it is in a mess. I tell you, I think last I heard we're some $19 trillion in debt. I don't even know how to imagine that. I don't know if you do or not, but we're talking 19 trillion, not million or billion, but trillion with a T. My goodness. I wonder if they added up all of the other debts that we have as Americans, how close we would get to that. We are definitely a country that understands debt. We're a people that understand debt. If you've ever purchased a house or purchased a car, you probably took out a loan for it and began making payments on it and came to an agreement that this is what you would pay. A house may, you know, some people may take, I think you can get a house note now for 40 years and take 40 years to pay off that debt. I think they say the average home loan is 30 years, and some have the ability to get that done a little sooner and a whole lot quicker and can get that taken care of. But we buy, we purchase vehicles with debt, and we do all kinds of things where we owe this. And, you know, the Bible tells us and describes to us here in Romans chapter 1 that there's another debt that we owe. I want you to look with me here in Romans chapter 1 and beginning in verse number 8. The scripture says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Verse number 14, he says, "I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to preach a message entitled to you this morning from verse number 14. As the Apostle Paul said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." I want to preach a message entitled, "It's Time to Pay Your Debt." Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we come to you this morning, God, we certainly need you. And Father, we are in a place, not just in our country, but in our own lives, where we have a great understanding of what debt is. And Father, I pray this morning that you would take this this message, that these verses from your holy word, and God, would you apply them to our hearts that we might understand the overwhelmingness of the debt that we owe. And Father, may it be seen clearly that while we owe it, that there is a simple way to pay. It's provided by you. Help us through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. When we go through this very first chapter of Romans, it is very evident as we read through that Paul very much uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. He is drawing attention. If you read through the entire chapter, if you're in the habit of marking in your Bibles, you might go through as you read and begin marking the number of times that the apostle mentions the name of God or the name of Jesus or even the Holy Spirit, and sometimes in the personal pronouns as he mentions them. Just in this one chapter here, just a handful of verses, over 39 times Paul mentions God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is not trying to win men to himself, but he's trying to point them to God. And our personal debt that we have today is to point men and women and boys and girls to God. And in that, I want to try to go through this with you to try to get you to understand the debt that we have, the debt that we must pay, the debt that we owe, that it is time today to start paying. I know in a crowd this size, there's many of you that have been saved for quite a while. It's possible that in here this morning there are some that don't know Christ as their Savior. And man, I tell you, there's nothing better than the day that you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's nothing better than it. I mean, it's a weight lifted because, let me just start here. The very first debt that we owe as men is to God, because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We have a debt that we must pay in our sin that we will pay, but yet Jesus has already paid it. And all we have to do is accept that payment, and our sin has been paid for. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection. And that is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here as he goes through, and he is mentioning to this church at Rome about the gospel. The gospel, very simply, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want you to go back to verse number 8, and let's break this down here just a little bit. As he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Throughout the world. Can I tell you that this was a church that not just had faith, but they shared their faith. You know, sharing your faith is something that every one of us has the ability to do. We talk to people. Now, I know talking to people is sometimes difficult, especially when we don't know them, we don't know much about them, and we go through, and it can sometimes be a little awkward. And there are some conversations that we kind of shy away from sometimes. And I'll tell you, there are two things that I mean, I've grown up, you've grown up this way too, you've heard your whole life probably. There's two things you don't talk about. Somebody give me the first one. I'm getting too old. I can't understand the mumbling. All right, I think someone said religion, right? You don't discuss religion, and the second one is politics. Don't discuss them. Why? Because everybody has an opinion, and everyone's opinion is different than yours, and so don't discuss those two things. Now, interestingly enough, those are two topics that I love to discuss the most. Oh, me. I grew up in a family that they discussed politics all the time, and they all had opinions, and some of them stunk and some of them didn't, but we go through and we say, oh well, don't discuss those two things. And I tell you, there's not a bigger lie from the devil than don't discuss those two things, because those two things are actually really important. Politics not as important, but religion, I think there's some importance here. And here is Paul, he's saying, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Well, how was it spoken of if they didn't show their faith, if they didn't share their faith? He says in verse number 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. There we are again, the gospel. He says that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. So Paul is saying, hey, I know this is a young church, and there are some things that need to be taught, and I'm looking forward to coming to you. I can't come right now, so I'm sending this letter. But I want to impart some things to you, that ye may be established. Now notice what he says after this. He says, that is, that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You see, if you know Christ as your Savior today, guess what? We have a mutual faith. We have something that we share together. We have a commonality between us. Now, we may have differences and we may have different opinions on things, but there's one thing that we have in common, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he continues. He says, "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, or I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto." He says, "I've wanted to come for a long time. I couldn't make it." He says, "That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Then he breaks it down here, and he's speaking personally as he says, "I am a debtor," or "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Now notice that verse 15 here is very key in the context of verse number 14. Okay? If we did not have verse number 15, we couldn't put verse 14 into full context. Because like for us, we may say, Paul obviously owed some Greeks and some barbarians some money. He borrowed some money, now he's a debtor, right? That's not what he's saying. And verse 15 gives us that confidence. Notice as he says again, read verse number 14 with me. "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome." There's a very important word there also. He says, "I've already given it to the Greeks. I've already given it to the barbarians. I am a debtor to them because they need Jesus." Can I tell you, point number one this morning is we have a personal debt that we owe to men. A personal debt. This is personal here. Notice, Paul did not say the church at Rome owes a debt. Now, they did owe a debt, just as Paul owed a debt, but he made it personal here, and the principle that we find here is that we too have a personal debt that we owe to all men. You see, Paul, as he traveled around, he preached in many places. It's interesting to note that as Paul preached at Jerusalem, that was really the religious center of the world during that time, he was mobbed by the crowds. They didn't happen to like what he had to say. They mobbed him. Of course, as he went through his travels, as he was in Athens, Greece, during that time, the intellectual center of the world, they mocked him. They said, "He's ignorant. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's unlearned. He's just what in the world?" And they mocked him. Now he's at Rome and he's preaching. Rome, during this time, the political center of the world. Everything went through Rome. Nothing happened in the world during this time without Rome's permission, without Rome's knowledge, without Rome's seal on that thing. The political center of the world, and shockingly enough, that it was in Rome that Paul would soon be martyred. For what? For preaching. For preaching the gospel. So why, if everywhere that Paul went, he was rejected? Paul was mobbed, he was mocked, and eventually, again, as I said, he would be martyred. But yet Paul says, "I have a debt that I must pay." You know, it's interesting that as we have this debt of the gospel to give. Now, I want you to think with me through this, that if it's time to start paying this debt, how are we going to do that? When, again, if I want you to think with me, if you're buying a house, you are in debt, or even if you are renting a house, guess what? You're in debt to whoever owns the house because they want money every month for that. And so you understand the principle that they tell you, "Hey, on the first of the month, you are to pay us X number of dollars." X number of dollars. And we have that debt, and we write the check, and we pay it. Now, here is something that I've never really considered or thought of, and that's this. What do they do with that money? What do they do with it, brother? I mean, I write a check to the bank, and then what do? Anybody know? You know? What do? They invest in more properties, they invest it somewhere else. That's a good answer. I didn't know that. I hope you're right. You are. He's confident. That's good. They invest in more properties. Why? Because they want to make more money. Oh, okay. Interesting. So how do I do this in a life? I have a debt that I must pay. Now, it's interesting to me that many of us, whether you realize it or not, owe this debt. And some of you have not paid. You're at default on this debt. And this debt is a little bit bigger than a house. It's honestly a little bit bigger than a car. Because this has to do with the souls of men and the souls of women and boys and girls that without Christ will die and go to hell. And we are in debt to them to tell them that Jesus Christ died to save them and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture and that He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God waiting for them. Now here's the greatest part to me, that while God said, this is your responsibility to tell, can I tell you what is not our responsibility is what is done with the gospel. I've shared the gospel with many people that have rejected. Man, I tell you, there's people that I've stood at their door, I've sat in their living room and taken the Bible and shown them exactly what Jesus did for them, shown them exactly what God has planned for their life, only for them to say at the end, when I say, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And they say, no, maybe later. I'll tell you, that hurts. That hurts, and I'm telling you, I feel like I'm paying the debt, but what they do with once it's paid is up to them. We're not required by God or held accountable by God for what they're going to do with the gospel. But I will tell you this, when there comes that time that they trust Christ as their Savior, angels in heaven will rejoice. And we too. I remember back when I was probably 15 years old. And I started working a bus route in my home church, and our church had bought a new bus, and we decided that the church didn't have the money to paint the bus the way they wanted it painted to take it somewhere, and so we decided to do all the work ourselves. And so I remember we started early on a Saturday morning. The pastor got a bunch of us teen boys to get on top of the bus and gave us some sanding blocks and told us just start sanding. And taped the windows, and we sanded the side of it, and we started early, I mean, right at daylight, and as we were sanding, I remember about 10 o'clock, I looked, and we always had soul winning on Saturday mornings at 10:30, and I came climbing down the bus, and my pastor was standing there, and he was working on some things, and he said, Aaron, where are you going? As I was climbing down the bus, and I said, well, I said, I'm going to go change my clothes, get ready to go soul winning, aren't you? You know my pastor. It's not the right thing to say. And he just looked at me and he said, Aaron, he said, we got to get this bus ready. We got to get this painted. He said, you can go soul winning anytime. But right now, this is what we have to do. Now, I didn't understand that. And he told me, he said, you do whatever you want to do, but we need to get this done. And so sheepishly, I climbed back up on top of the bus, and I got my sanding block, and I'm sanding away thinking the whole time my pastor is not spiritual. I'm serious. I confess that. We finished up around 2:30, 3 o'clock. I mean, my arms were tired. A good friend of mine, Dave Bowles, I worked the bus route with him. He said, hey, we've got to go visit our kids. Let's go do it. And so I jumped in the truck with him, and we started visiting the kids. And I remember going up to this one trailer where our route was out and knocked on the door, and this guy came out. He was probably 19, 20 years old. Again, I'm 15. And I asked him, I said, hey, is your brother? I really don't remember his brother's name, but I asked him, I said, hey, is he coming to church tomorrow? And he said, yeah, he probably will. And so as I was talking to him, asking about that, and this is our typical deal here. We knock on the door, hey, are they coming to church tomorrow? Yes, no, okay, great, wonderful. Tell them we hope to see them, blah, 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 and then we turn around and walk away. But as I was talking to his brother, I remembered what my pastor said, and he said, you can go soul winning anytime. Okay. And so I asked his brother his name. His name was TJ. And so I started talking to TJ and started talking about church and going to heaven and that type of thing. And he was with me, and I asked him, I said, well, do you mind if I take the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven when you die? And he said, sure. Now, up to this point in my life, I had never done this before. I had been with men in the church that had taken me out and kind of showed me how to do it, but I've never really done this before. And so I kind of fumbled around in my Bible and showed him some verses and asked him some questions. And at the end, I said, well, TJ, I said, do you want to trust Christ as your Savior? And he looked at me, and I promise you, with a tear coming down his face, he said, yeah, I do. And so I'm like, well, okay. And so I said, well, if I pray, will you pray like you mean it and all that? And he prayed and trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, here's an amazing thing for me was if I had gone at 10 o'clock or 10:30, I probably wouldn't have seen TJ that day. Or if I would have just stuck to a routine to say, well, this is compartmentalized soul winning time. This is when we go. This is when we do it. No. It's any time. And while I thought my pastor wasn't spiritual, I realized that he was right. You can go anytime. All it takes is striking up a conversation. All it takes is asking someone, do you know if you died today that heaven would be your home? Sometimes I'll ask the question, and I'll say, well, do you know the Lord? And I'll tell you, you know, it's never ceased to amaze me that somebody that knows the Lord knows that they know the Lord. They know what you mean by that. Well, yes, I do. Or when did you come to know the Lord? There's all kinds of questions that we can start the conversation on a spiritual matter. Why? Because lives are at stake. It was just a few weeks ago, we were going through another neighborhood here in Mobile, and Brother Scott and I were together, and we had knocked on a few doors and came around, and there were a couple of teenage boys sitting on the front porch, and it was an early morning, about 10:30, 11 o'clock. We just began talking to them, and they said that they'd been to church before, and I'd asked them if anybody had ever told them how they could go to heaven, and shockingly, now listen, they've been to church before, but no one had ever told them how they can go to heaven. But they've been to church before. Goodness. You know what? It wasn't about 10, 15 minutes later that they knew how to get to heaven, and they said, we want to go. Amen. You see, again, we can go soul winning anytime. Anytime. Not just a scheduled time. Not that scheduled times are bad things, but anytime. Why? Because we have a debt that we owe. And we have a debt that we owe. And notice what Paul said. He said, I owe it to the Greeks. I owe it to the barbarians. I owe it to the wise. I owe it to the unwise. Hey, hold on a second. There was no one that he didn't owe the debt to. Now, if we want to, we can go through and we can kind of go through and say, all right, here's who I'm indebted to first. And we kind of do this from time to time. We'll say, hey, you know, we have our debts, and we know our most important debts. And if you've ever, struggled in life, you know what it's like to say, well, these are the ones I can pay, and these are the ones I can't pay. If you've ever been there before, you know what I'm talking about. These are the ones that can wait, but these can't wait. These are the most important. And we might compartmentalize it like that. I will tell you that if you have a family, you're indebted to them to tell them about Christ. And if you don't care enough about family, how are you going to care about the man on the street? We're indebted to them. You might place them number one, a brother or a sister, or how about your children? Can I tell you, if you have children, you're indebted to them. You are a debtor to your children. You say, I know they take enough of my money. No, I know that, but you're in debt to them to tell them about Christ. To tell them about Christ that so that they might know at a young age. I'll tell you, statistics will tell us that most people that come to know Christ as their Savior come to know Him as a child. And we need to tell them, and it's my responsibility as dad my responsibility, it's my wife's responsibility as mom to tell them about Jesus. Can I tell you, taking them to church is not enough. We must live it in front of them. We must share with them in our homes. Deuteronomy tells us this. It is our responsibility. Can I tell you that Sunday school may not be enough? Amen. I mean, we wonder. We say, well, what happened to our kids? We took them to church every Sunday. Yeah, but if that's all you do, if we don't do anything more than that, if we don't personally, can I get you to understand this is a personal debt that we owe. It's a personal debt. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our families. Can I tell you, we owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to our neighbors that we know. We owe it to our coworkers. We owe it to everyone that we know. But can I tell you, it doesn't just stop there. We owe it to the ones we don't know. We talk about missions, and I'll tell you, missions is not just about filling out a check and putting in an offering plate and say, well, I gave to missions, hallelujah. No, this is missions. Missions is not about money. Missions is about souls. Missions is about people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you and I owe a debt. It's a personal debt. As we continue through this, as he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Can I tell you, while we have a personal debt that we owe to all men, can I tell you that we can have a personal confidence in the gospel of God? Amen. We can have a personal confidence. You say, you know, there are times when we may buy something and we get into debt and we're overwhelmed with it and we say, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. I bought a house, I bought cars, I bought a boat, I bought a TV, I bought, you know, everything on credit cards. And how am I going to pay this? How am I going to pay it? Well, I have a good job. That's how I'm going to pay it. Well, there you go. Maybe my wife has to get a job. Maybe the kids have to get jobs. I don't know, but we're going to pay the debt. Amen? And we would all agree that it is the decent and responsible and right thing to do to pay your debts. Amen? We consider that. And we say that, and we do everything that we can do to pay the debt. Well, here, can I just fill you in on this? God's already supplied what we need. We have enough. We have a good savings account. We have everything in here. Notice what he says. Notice, first off, he said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself to be able to tell someone about Christ? Now, I know that it is, again, it's an overwhelming thing. It's sometimes an intimidating thing. To be able to take the Bible and show someone how they can know Christ as their Savior, I don't know where to go. I always relate it to fishing. You know, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And I tell this story from time to time. I remember one of the first times I went fishing, I didn't know what I was doing. I was probably in fourth or fifth grade, and I was with a buddy of mine, Stephen Arnold, and we were down at the lake, and I'd taken my uncle's fishing pole and his tackle box and took a thing of night crawlers, and the only thing I knew about fishing was you needed a night crawler. Now, Joe, don't laugh at me on this, but I put a lure on the end of that thing and tied it on there, and it had two of the, what is it, a treble hook? Is that what you call them? Two treble hooks, one in the front, one in the back, and I covered every one of those hooks with night crawlers. Every last one of them. Because that's all I knew to do. If you want to catch a fish, you got to have a night crawler. And I remember taking that and casting that out there. And what else do you do when you have a night crawler on? You leave it out there, usually. So I left it out there. My uncle came down to the lake where we were at, and he said, hey, reel that in. Let me see what you got. So I reeled it in and pulled that little lure up and all nine night crawlers or whatever was on there. And he started belly laughing. He had some buddies of his there, and my cousin was there. And he says, oh, look at this right here. You know, you can't believe this. Put night crawlers all over that. And so then he taught me. He said, this is how you do it. So he took all the night crawlers off and he cast that thing out there, and reeled it in nice and slow and made the little lure dance, I guess, or whatever it does. And, you know, a few casts, and guess what? Caught a fish. Now, I don't know if I ever would have caught a fish with that or not. I don't know, Bro Terry. But I was trying. Sometimes it's just about going fishing. Amen? And we need to know these things, and we need to know what's in the tackle box. And I'll tell you this, it's important to take the tackle box. Amen. This is what it's going to take. I tell you, just going out on a boat or going on the side of the lake or something like this. I mean, I can imagine somebody doing this, Bro Terry. Take a little sign. Take your chair, go out there, plop a seat, put a sign right next to your seat that says fish welcome. No, I'm serious. I mean, that's how Joe fishes. Just goes out on the boat, hangs a sign, fish welcome. Joe's so good and talented, they just swim up to the boat, jump in, he goes home. That's how it works, isn't it, Joe? Exactly like that. I tell you, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. As a matter of fact, fishing's kind of hard work. That can be relaxing, and it can be all of that, but it can be relaxing. I still tell the story about Joe. And Terry's with us. Storm coming, I mean, black clouds over here on this side. Beautiful on this side, but black on this side, and it's rolling in. Had a redfish on my line. I'd reeling it in for probably 20, 25 minutes fighting with this dumb thing. Joe's ready to go. He's really scared. He didn't want to get caught out in this stuff. And he says, hey, look over. You see it? I said, yeah. Then he cut the line. He cut the line, Brother Pearson. I fought with that thing for 25 minutes. I wanted to get a picture with it. Cut the line. Let's go. Start the boat. You remember that, Terry? Junk. Still haven't forgiven him for that. I'm not bitter. I just haven't forgiven him. But I'll tell you, this is serious business. Paul said, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready. And then he said, I'm not ashamed. Can I be real with you for a moment? Many of us don't share the gospel because we're ashamed. Now, we don't mind saying, I'm a Christian. But that's where we stop. And maybe it's because, again, we've bought into that. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. And we think talking about Jesus is religious. It's not religious. It's what we've been given to do. The task that has been handed to us, the job that we have, has been to tell others about Jesus. He said, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it's the power of God and the salvation. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. We can say all day long, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And we've done that for so long that other people just start saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And they're not any more Christian than anything. Because it's not just about a title, it's about a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And we won't have that relationship. Notice, again, what he says here is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean? Well, guess what? When I came to know Christ as my Savior, it was by faith. It was by grace through faith. And then I take my faith and I share it with Brother Terry. And from my faith in Christ comes his faith. From faith to faith. And then Brother Terry goes to Brother Kevin, but he's not a brother yet. And from his faith to his faith as he trusts Christ. You see, but if we're ashamed, we're not going to do that. Because I don't want somebody to think I'm weird. I don't want to impose on anyone. Well, if they ask me, then maybe I'll try to tell them. That's not what it says. It says, I'm in debt. I mean, look, we don't pay our bills this way, do we? When we have a debt, do we wait until we get the final notice? Maybe sometimes we do. But we've all already agreed that's not the best and responsible, decent thing to do. Because what do you do if they don't ever ask? What do you do if you don't ever get that final notice? Oh, I got a free car. Till one day, they catch up with you. I've never, praise the Lord, I've never had a car repossessed. But I can only imagine how it feels. I've had some cars that I wish got stolen. Rachel asked me, why are you leaving the keys in there for? Honey, it's okay. They can have it. I can only imagine. Listen to me. One day, it's going to catch up. And that person that you've been supposed to talk to, they may end up dead. And I'm just telling you, then it's too late. I don't know if that's the same as being repossessed or not, but you kind of get what I'm going with here. When it's not there, it's too late. Can I tell you, you might die first. It's too late. You have a debt, and it's time to begin paying that debt. And I know many of you may be saying, yes, I agree with that, preacher, but I have no idea how to do this. This summer, on Wednesday evenings, we're going to go through 10 weeks of how you can build your tackle box and how you can confidently go up to someone, begin a conversation, and lead them to Christ. That's our summer series. Look, we have Vacation Bible School coming up. You need to know how to lead a boy or girl to the Lord. It's not hard. It's actually a lot of fun. Let's go fishing. Let's go. I mean, if we said today, hey, this afternoon we're going to go fishing, there'd be a lot of you say, hey, let's go. Oh, by the way, we're fishing for men. It's a whole lot more exciting. I mean, I know we don't get a fillet them. But we do get to teach them. We do. It's an amazing thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a great responsibility. It's a debt that we owe. We need to get ready. We need to not be ashamed. From faith to faith, with heads bowed and eyes closed, many of you are saying right now, in your mind, there may be someone that you're thinking of, that you're saying, hey, I need to talk to them. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a brother or a sister. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a nephew or a niece. Maybe it's your neighbor next door. Maybe it's a coworker. But maybe you're thinking of somebody. I trust you are. Maybe you're here and you'd say, preacher, I'd love to tell somebody about Christ, but I don't even know him myself. I don't even know him myself. If that's you this morning, just slip up your hand.